The leader of Burma's pro-democracy movement, Aung San Suu Kyi, has said she will be a candidate in upcoming elections. Suu Kyi's National League for Democracy voted unanimously to register the party, which had been dissolved last year by the military regime then in power. Burma UK Director Mark Farmer spoke to us about the significance of Suu Kyi's announcement and about her developments in Burma.
Well, this is a big shift in strategy for Aung San Suu Kyi. She now seems to feel that there is an opportunity in Parliament to use it as a platform to promote further reforms, and that perhaps then sort of in future elections to build up more seats in Parliament. But she's going to face an awful lot of challenges because once she is an MP in Parliament, there will be a perception that, oh, things are normal now. This is really big progress. But at the same time, Parliament has got 25% of the seats reserved by the military, which means any constitutional change can be vetoed by the military. And Parliament is also fairly powerless. Above Parliament is a president. Above president is a National Defence and Security Council. And above that is the military, which also constitutionally has a complete veto over decisions which it thinks might be a threat to international peace and security in the country. So national peace and security in the country or unity of the country. So anything that the military doesn't like, it can effectively decide that's a threat and we can step in. So she's got all of these challenges. So what's really important now is that the international community doesn't say, okay, that's fine. She's in Parliament now. Problem solved. We can go in and just do business and treat Burma as a normal country because you've still got an increase in human rights abuses there. There's a long way from any genuine reforms and democracy. Before the rigged elections held last November, a new law was introduced which seemed designed specifically to ensure that the National League for Democracy could not take part. They would have been required to expel any members who were serving prison sentences, and they would have to actively support a new constitution which was introduced by the military and basically gives the military a veto and it's a constitution for continued dictatorship, although with a civilian face. So obviously this would be impossible for the NLD to support. They couldn't register and agree to these rules, and so they didn't take part in the elections, and that's what the dictatorship wanted. But they do want to get the sanctions lifted. They do want to get international acceptance, and they seem to realise now they will have to come to some kind of accommodation with Aung San Suu Kyi. So they have now changed that election law again back to pretty similar to how it was before. So that means that the NLD are now able to re-register as a party. And it seems that they will also try to stand in by-elections that are coming up either in December or January. There's almost 50 seats in the Parliament, the upper and lower house of parliaments, which will be coming up in by-elections. And so it looks like they will field candidates there.
Burma is also in the news because of the meeting of ASEAN nations, the Association of Southeast Asian Nations. Can you tell us about that as well?
Today there's a meeting of the heads of state of the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, and they have agreed that Burma can assume the chairmanship of the organization in 2014. There's a rotating chairmanship, and it was their turn. But in the past, they have refused to allow Burma to take its turn as chair because of the embarrassment of having them as chair because of their human rights record.
So what is the significance of this development?
Well, this will be very good news for Thein Sein, the president of Burma. What they're engaged in at the moment is a charm offensive and some reforms which aimed at getting more international legitimacy and acceptance. And what they're hoping for is a relaxation of sanctions as well. They have been trying, though, to achieve this without giving too much away. So they've released some political prisoners, but most remain in jail. They've lifted a little bit of censorship, but censorship is still in place for a lot of issues. So while they've made some reforms, they haven't gone very deep. And so they'll be very pleased that even without making very deep and fundamental reforms, they're starting to see the results of this charm offensive by being accepted as the chair of ASEAN. It's a big success for them.
And finally, as far as news goes, the United States is speaking of sending the Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, to Burma within a month. I presume that's also part of this campaign for more international recognition legitimacy.
Exactly, yes. The U.S. has been saying that it will respond positively two positive steps by the government of Burma. And what they're doing at the moment is giving more sort of international engagement. So, for example, this week you have the British Secretary of State for International Development has been visiting Burma, and previously ministerial visits were banned. Now you're going to have Hillary Clinton going. So this is the way that the US and the EU are rewarding the government for the small changes they've made so far, is with increased diplomatic contact. But they are not yet ready to relax any of the economic sanctions in place, the stronger sanctions, because although you've had these political reforms and some positive steps, at the same time in the past year, human rights abuses in Burma have actually increased. There's an increase in conflict. Most political prisoners remain in jail. So there's still a very serious human rights problem in Burma. And there hasn't been any real deep fundamental democratic reforms. And there isn't even a process where they might be discussed yet. So there's still a long, long way to go before we're looking at real progress in Burma. So, these visits are a way of saying to the government of Burma, if you continue down this path, see, you'll be given more international acceptance. But there's still a long way to go.
And finally, what do you see as the future? Do you expect the Burmese government to respond to this, or how is this going to affect the state of things in Burma in the immediate future?
This is the critical question, is why are these reforms being made? And some think that Thein Sein maybe is genuinely wants a transition to democracy. Others are more cynical because he was the one in charge of drafting the new constitution, which actually legalizes dictatorship, even if it has a civilian face. And the fact that he has, that human rights abuses are increasing at the same time as he's talking about change. The fear is that what he has done is looked around the world, and he's seen that across the world there are dictatorships which have no sanctions applied, which have normal trade relations, and he wants the same. So he's prepared to make a few reforms to take off the harsher, rough edges of the dictatorship to try and get some international legitimacy and acceptance. And that is his goal rather than genuine democracy. So we'll have to wait and see which is the one that will prove to be correct. But with the serious human rights abuses taking place, that's an indicator that he might not be as genuine as he says he is.
And so the international community has responded positively to the small steps that have been taken, very small at this point. What more do they need to do? What more should be done to encourage the government to continue making moves in the direction of democracy and human rights?
Tomorrow, Ban Ki-moon will be meeting Thein Sein, the president of Burma, and it's very important that he delivers a very firm message that what you've done so far is welcome, but you haven't gone nearly far enough. And if you want real acceptance, if you want sanctions lifted, you're going to have to release all political prisoners. And very importantly, you're going to have to end the attacks against ethnic minority civilians in the country, because there has been a massive increase in conflict where the Burmese army has been attacking these ethnic minority areas in Shan State, Kachin State, Karen State, and 150,000 people have been forced to flee their homes in the past year because of these attacks. There's been a use of gang rape, including against 12-year-old girls, villages being mortar-bombed, and aid agencies operating in Burma are not being allowed access to help these people that have fled their homes. So there's a very serious crisis there. At the moment, most of the international community's focus is what's happening with these developments in Rangoon, but you have to put into comparison, yes, they've lifted censorship on some websites, but only 0.3% of the population of Burma even has access to the internet. Compare that to the fact that 150,000 people have fled their homes because of attacks by the Burmese army this year. It's a very serious situation which is not getting enough attention from the international community.